Today on another unnerving episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, the human mind and dreams. Throughout history, there have been countless claims of the living being visited by deceased loved ones in their sleep. Is this just an example of our bodies and mind working through grief? Or could it possibly be the spirits of those who have left the face of this earth, coming back from the grave with a message we desperately need to hear? That story and much more today on this haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, if you like the show, you want to get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, all that stuff, check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, man, I want to bring something up and get your take on it real quickly before we get into some of the stories tonight.
Yeah.
It's something that happened, something that came up twice in the last 7 days.
Okay.
And it was the realization from two different investigations that I watched over the last 7 days of ghost paranormal researchers going out and doing a little ghost hunting. And it's odd that they both came to my attention over the past week.
Mm-hmm.
They basically were the fact that the location had hauntings of more than one individual from a family. That's what they perceived the information was telling them. Of course, we never know 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
But the other thing that was interesting about it was that while they were both there and they both lived during the same time period, mm-hmm. and in one case, one was a mother and daughter, the energies and spirits that lingered had no idea that the other one was also there.
Yeah.
And it's really one of the first times that I've heard of this, and I've never really thought about it.
Yeah.
But like, if that's the case, that opens up another whole ball of, you know, what the hell goes on when you die?
Well,
you know, if your energy is stuck there.
Yeah. Are you alone?
You don't know what's around you at that point?
I don't know. It's a question I ask semi-frequently on the Grave Talks to investigators. Because I've had stories where the ghosts did seem to recognize, like they almost created this family unit, and they weren't family when they were alive. But it was almost like this one, I forgot what the place was, but it was like there was like two parental units, and then there was like the children ghosts. And it seemed, based on the evidence that they had been getting for a long period of time, that the adult ghosts were taking care of the children ghosts. And they identified who they were by name, and they could actually trace it back to the property. And they weren't of, you know, the same group when they were alive, but they seemed to be like all kind of hanging out over there. But then on the same note, you can have that sort of investigation where it's exactly what you just said. There ain't nobody else over there but you. So I don't know.
You know, and you think, or I think we have this idea that when we die, all the answers become open to us.
Yeah.
And we understand what life is all about and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me that I could be, you know, part of my energy could be in a location and I would not know, you know, who else might be there. It sounds just like what I'm going through right now. I don't know what's around me right now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think there's going to be people are being for quite a surprise when it's like you get over there and it's like, but where's the like seminar on all the answers to the universe that William Shatner's hosting? He's not dead yet. Oh, okay. Well, whoever's hosting
I'll wait. Yeah, he'll be coming. Yeah.
I'll wait. Oh, Bob Saget's doing a take on it now. Oh, I bet that's going to be good. I'd love to hear Bob Saget's take on all the mysteries of the universe. But I think the surprise is going to be okay, you're over here, but guess what? You have no guide and you don't know why the hell you're over here and you don't know what to do. And that's just kind of, I think, how it's going to go. So
basically par for the course. We don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
We have an inkling, but we really don't. And maybe when we pass on, nothing in that regard really changes.
I think we will be a little bit more educated than the average because of doing the show. So we'll at least have some ideas, maybe like, oh, I've heard about that. But what did they do? Because that right. one episode, suddenly a large fireball came up and grabbed their arm off and they started to burst into flames. And then the other time, they went on this joyous carousel off to Neverland. But which one was it? You know? And you won't know. So I don't know. I it would be wonderful if suddenly we got the answers, but I think we're still going to be in for a lot of questions.
Great, great.
The fun don't stop till we reach the top.
that's right.
So I did see this today, which I also thought was kind of just crazy for the times. But it was a headline, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was a truck that was carrying lab monkeys that may have infectious diseases got into an accident. And four of the monkeys are still out.
Do you have any idea where this took place?
I mean, like the South. No, I don't know. I can probably find the story here. Lab monkeys. And the thing is, we're recording this on the 24th of January. So this may be like the, by the time this airs in February, this thing will already be spread and we'll have a whole new thing going on because of this. So lab monkeys, crash, escape. Tell me, Google.
Every year, things are going to be a little bit better than they were in 2020. 2021 was no better. And 2022 has escapee monkeys with diseases running around.
Pennsylvania actually is where it happened.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so close to very populated areas, depending on where in Pennsylvania it was, if it was closer to the East Coast. But there you go. Oh, my gosh. Now this is like how the horror movie starts. It doesn't start kind of the way, COVID started, although I guess some would. But the more dramatic one would be the monkey car crash. And it's like they get away and bite somebody's face off or something. There was one woman that I guess thought they were cats and was out there trying to feed them. Her name was Peggy, and she was from Wisconsin. No.
Shut up.
But there was a woman out there that thought they were cats, trying to be nice to them and shit. And then the Centers for Disease Control just like, you should quarantine for 30 days because we don't. And they didn't tell her, but they're like, we don't know if they might be disease monkeys or whatever.
It's like the freaking Twilight Zone, for Christ's sakes.
It is. It really, truly is. Good times. Let's talk about something not so scary. Ghosts. 855. Hey. Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our first letter says, hey, Tony, recently found your podcast. I've loved hearing the different stories. When I first heard stories about people having visits with deceased loved ones, it reminded me of an experience I had back when I was a freshman in college. About 8 years ago, my grandfather passed away of cancer. Within a week or so of all of the services, I had one of the most vivid dreams that I've ever had. In the dream, we were at my grandfather's house. He was sitting there, alive and well, and my entire family was there and ecstatic to have him back, except me. I knew he was not supposed to be there. I felt like I was so close to moving on and accepting his death, which enjoying this visit in the dream would not help that process. For some reason in the dream, I was not happy to see my grandpa. I was getting angry that none of my family members in the dream would accept the truth that he was gone and that it was not right for him to be here. When I eventually woke up, I was upset with myself. If this was a visit, why couldn't I enjoy it? Spend that quality time and say goodbye. Even though I was upset and disturbed by the dream, I chalked it up to just an overactive mind, as I really hadn't stopped constantly thinking about losing him at this point. Whether it was a visit or just an active mind, I was still so disturbed and weirded out by the dream that I decided to call my girlfriend, my now wife, and just talk because there was no way I was going right back to sleep after that. It had to have been 1 or 2 in the morning, so I didn't expect her to answer, but she answered immediately. It didn't sound like I woke her up. When we started talking, I told her I just had a weird dream and couldn't sleep. She instantly stopped me and told me she did too. Waiting to get my mind off my dream, or wanting to get my mind off my dream, I just let her tell me about hers first. When she started telling me the story, I realized we had the exact same dream. But hers was about her grandfather, who had passed away nearly a decade earlier. She had known my grandpa really well, and it would have been one thing if she had the same dream about mine, and something throughout the day put the same thought into both of our minds, but for both of us to have such similar dreams, but yet personal and different, just haven't been able to explain it since. Not sure if anyone has ever had a similar experience, but we wanted to get this out there if anyone does have a similar story and some kind of explanation. Thank you, and I love the podcast. Also, I just heard the Kennedy Hill Road episode of the podcast, and I'm from the same town in Illinois, and I've heard those same stories from different people in the past, as you told on the episode. Well, I think what made it inauthentically the grandparents, there was no Werther's Original offered when they saw them, you know, immediately. You expect them to be on a porch somewhere and wearing overalls, even if that's never what they wore. And they're just, well, Werther's Original. And then, you know, okay, it is a grandparent. Otherwise, Satan.
It's not.
What do you think?
Well, first off, you know, I think a lot of times when things happen to us, whether they're dreams or they're events that seem paranormal, the way we react is the way we react.
Yeah.
We don't learn how to react to stuff like this. So the fact that he got upset about it because his grandfather was there and shouldn't be, I hope he never really got too down on himself about that. Mm-hmm. Because again, you're going to react as you react. The fact that he and his girlfriend, now they're married, that connection there was really interesting that they both had that same dream. And I, you know, again, I don't think of things are really coincidences. I think things happen for a reason. Maybe that dream sequence in both of their lives brought them closer together to bring them together and get married and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, but that's an interesting little bit there.
It is. I mean, in itself, just the dream sequence is interesting. But then you add the fact that they both had it. I mean, if it's, and I wonder how much it affected her versus it did him. Like, you know, he seemed to be pretty, you know, distraught by this. To her, was it just kind of like, yeah, it was a weird dream. Oh, we had the same dream. You know, could it have been that she had the same dream sequence to be able to relate to him and to give him some comfort of just like, it's okay, right. You know, like right. Maybe that's the only reason she had that dream. I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways of looking at it.
Well, I think back to last week when I had the dream about the Mary Tyler Moore theme and you were dreaming about America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that happen to? Nobody. Does that mean somewhere down the road you and I are getting married? I don't think so, but you know,
I think it just shows that, you know, how close of friends we've been forever, that we, you know, that can happen. It's just funny.
Yeah. I think the connection is always very important. And I think that in this case, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. On to the next story. It says, hi, hope you're doing well. When I was a child, I always felt like there was something in my parents' house. I would hear people talking at night, but I couldn't understand the words. There was a lot of footsteps and clinking sounds, too. Every night sounded like a party. Crazily enough, I'd get up and look around. Everyone else was always sleeping. I'd also hear my name called. It sounded very real, but there was never anything there. I never felt alone, either. I felt like I wasn't alone, and I was being watched. These things only affected me. My parents and three sisters never had any experiences. One day, when I was about 9, there was a storm. I was completely creeped out all day. I felt like the air was electrified and I was hypervigilant. Everyone in the family left except for me and one of my sisters. At one point, a big window fan that we had, window fan turned on by itself. I asked her if she turned it on and she hadn't. A little later, my sister said she wanted to take a nap in our parents' room with our cat. She'd never done that before or after. I begged her to stay with me. I delayed her for a little while, but she ended up going into our parents' room with the cat. I was terrified and felt like something was definitely not right. I decided to go to my bedroom, which was across the hall from my parents' room. I wanted to be closer to my sister, and I felt so scared and anxious. It just felt like everything was full of static or electrical waves. It was very high tension. I wish I could explain better. When I went to my room, I had the idea that if I stayed motionless, maybe a ghost would think I was a doll and leave me alone. Sat on my bed as still as I could, closed my eyes. After a short time, maybe a minute, several minutes, I don't know, I heard clicking. I opened my eyes, looked at my bedside table. There was a small lamp that had belonged to my grandparents, both deceased, on the table. The lamp had a key-like switch that had to be turned to on and off. I saw that the switch was turning back and forth, so my lamp was turning on and off. I screamed at the top of my lungs, I'm sure, and started crying, ran to my parents' door and couldn't get the door open. My fear? Or something else? After I got the door open, I ran to my sister. I wouldn't leave her for the rest of the day. I've often wondered if my grandparents were saying hello, although I doubt that since they had many grandchildren, most of which were closer to them than our family. Or was it something with some sinister intent? I wish I knew. In retrospect, I had always been sensitive and known things that couldn't have possibly known, like knowing a friend's brother was visiting from California and driving way up the street, so running down the street and flagging him down. Another time being introduced to a man and knowing without being told anything about him that he was a photographer for Playboy. It's just a few examples. I've had other scary things happen, but the story about the lamp was my most terrifying. I think I've closed off to any other paranormal experiences because of fear. I haven't had anything scary happen in a long time, thank God. Unfortunately, I also haven't had that knowing in a long time either. Thank you so much for your time. Take care, Kathy. Thoughts on that?
I think Kathy kind of answered her question about why her grandparents might come to her, even though maybe they weren't this close. If you're open like that, from everything that I've read and researched, people who are open, mediums, psychics, whatever, energies, the dead, spirits know that you can see them, that you can feel them. And if they have a story to tell, if they're trying to reach out, those are the individuals that they're going to go to first off.
Wouldn't it be really disappointing when you're the ghost and like you got your family and it's like you get to like pick who you're going to, you know, try and speak through, but the only options are like the ones who you're like, really? I have to try and get a message through that person?
Can you imagine? I mean, yes, that's and true. And then secondly, can you imagine trying to make communication in any way, shape, or form that you can and nobody paying attention to it? Frustrating that must be if you're beyond this living world and you were really trying to get something said and you've got the energy and you've got the know-how to somehow try to communicate and no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
That's gotta be frustrating.
It could be, hang on one second. I don't know if I'm going to find it quick enough. Here we go. It could be a new sitcom on ABC where it's like, this Friday night, the dead try to speak through Phil. Speak through Phil. And then they go and try and speak through Phil. It's like, Phil, I need you to tell my wife that I've always loved her. There's some guy that says he wants to bang you down by the pool. Phil! And you have the
Have you seen the new TV show on CBS called Ghosts?
I have not.
It's kind of like that, where this couple moves into this old house and she can see the ghosts, but he can't.
Oh, really?
And so she sees this plethora of ghosts that are hanging out there, and it's a comedy, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, same thing. They can't speak to him because he doesn't see him, but she's the only one that they can speak through.
I just think it'd be real funny if it was like a really kind of like a LOL character from Wings that was the one that has to like relay the messages, and they always get screwed up. And then this family like has like this horrible perception of all their dead loved ones because this guy just keeps delivering the wrong messages. I think it'll be a great show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I like the canned laughter. We need to like have that on hand more often.
Have that queued up for me.
I really, okay. All right. Let's go to our next story here today. It says, I'd like to tell you a story, but I feel like I should preface it by admitting that I'm a jumpy person by nature. I've always been open to the idea of ghosts, even though it goes against my mostly atheistic beliefs. Despite this openness, I can't say I've ever had a real paranormal experience, although the story I'm about to tell sure scared the shit out of me. When I was a junior, in my junior year of college, I moved from a great little one-bedroom apartment where I lived alone into a shared two-bedroom apartment on the first floor. The new apartment was a nice pre-war building with built-ins, a huge living room. We had a front door and a back door throughout the kitchen, which led to another stairway to the basement, which is where we did laundry. Having two doors scared me a bit because I was paranoid of getting broken into, especially on the first floor. The first thing I noticed about the apartment was an annoying tapping inside one wall of my bedroom that would wake me up in the middle of the night. I started jokingly referring to it as Tippy and acting as though it was a ghost that was tapping to get my attention. I didn't really believe this and wasn't scared by it at first, but sometimes the tapping would turn into pounding and really did end up scaring me by how loud it got. My roommate suggested that there were pipes in the wall going from the boiler to the top floor and that when the heat would turn on, the expansion and contraction would cause banging noises. I bought that explanation. As winter descended upon us, a cold Minnesota winter, I realized I didn't have a radiator in my bedroom. This forced me to think twice about this banging pipe theory. There was no sign that my bedroom had ever had a radiator. The tapping continued, and I was bothered by it, but I was more bothered at this point by the lowering temperatures. I bought a space heater to keep warm. First time I used it, I blew a fuse and the power in the whole apartment went off. Over the course of the winter, I ended up blowing a fuse just about daily when I turn it on. I'd have to trudge outside and into the creepy basement to turn the fuses back on. Got to the point where we kept a couple flashlights around in case the power would go out. This continued to occur, and I got to the point where I called my landlord and asked what I could do to prevent this from happening. I was sick of having to go outside and flip the switch all the time. Sometimes the power would just go off without my roommate or I doing anything. I'd be sitting in the living room reading our respective books, and the lights would go off. I figured the circuits were faulty. Landlord sent out an electrician. Checked the fuse box, didn't see a problem. While he was in my room having a look at the outlet, I turned on my space heater to show him the power issue, but the power didn't go off for once. Tippy started lightly tapping the walls. I mentioned that this was really bothering me in the middle of the night, and I wished for that pipe banging to at least get some heat out of it then. The electrician said he didn't think it sounded like pipes. I should ask my landlord to send a heating guy over, which he did the following week. I explained the situation to the heating guy, complained that the pipe banging was driving me a little nuts. Heating guy went to the basement to check out the boiler and the pipes. He went to the second and third floor apartments to investigate. When he came back to my apartment, I was a bit shocked when he told me that there weren't pipes running up behind my wall or in the adjacent wall, and that couldn't explain the tapping. The upstairs neighbors had no complaints about noises on their walls. At this point, I began to get a little weirded out. Later that week, I returned home from class in the afternoon to an empty apartment. It was winter, so it was already dark by about 4:30. I was sitting in the living room, and the power went off as though I had blown a fuse. I didn't turn any appliance on. My space heater in my room was not on. I was sort of used to this by now, but it always creeped me out, and this time even more so since I hadn't done anything to cause it. I found a flashlight, kept on a bookshelf, and started towards the kitchen to go out the back door. The door was slightly ajar. Made a snack in the kitchen when I got home and the door was shut and chained, as it always was, less than 30 minutes before. My heart began to beat very fast. Without turning on the power, I locked the back door and ran out of the apartment. Stayed at a friend's house the next two nights. Shortly thereafter, I found a new apartment. Was that one haunted? I don't know. Power outages and tapping noises really made me go a bit crazy. Thanks for the long and anticlimactic storytelling ability. I hope you find it interesting. That is interesting, especially when she was saying how the tapping or started, you know, I'm thinking like knocking on a door almost. And then when somebody goes from knocking to pounding, So it kind of escalated in that ways from what is kind of the way I'm understanding it.
Right. You know, the skeptic in me, when I look at anything like this, you go, well, yeah, the power in an old building probably is an issue, blah, 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 space here. That's going to make it shut off. Tapping, you know, first thing I thought of was old pipes in the walls, yeah, blah, blah, and the whole story. So when you start, that's the thing about investigating ghosts and stuff like that, too. You start off with that as your theory of what's going on. And as you cross them off your list, if there's nothing else that makes sense, then you have to start questioning what's really going on. And the fact that his back door was open, uh-huh, after, you know, that's creepy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, that could be anybody getting in your house doing creepy stuff. But yeah, that's a creepy situation. And I don't think there's any one of us that if we were just a little creeped out and some of that stuff happened, we wouldn't think twice about that it could be haunted.
Oh,
we just would.
Yeah, exactly. I had a in my kitchen in Wichita. It was very weird. There was one spot where I would hear this like very distinct tap. It was like someone was like almost like tapping on like from the inside of the wall is what it sounded like. And the outside of that wall went to a recessed garage. And I went out there and I'm looking because that part was actually open. Like there was no drywall. So I'm looking to try and see, you know, is there a pipe over here on this side of the wall? Is there something? There's nothing. There's nothing over there that could ever explain the damn thing. I had an electrician come out because I was concerned. Well, like, is there something like electrically cracking in my wall? That,
right.
And I'm like, I got to look that looked at. They did that. There's like, no, there's nothing going on here. And you couldn't like, you know, there was nothing that really seemed to trigger it. It would just start doing it. And we'd do like a couple taps and be done. And then maybe a couple minutes later or an hour later, it would do it. And it was so weird. And I don't know if it was paranormal. I never really thought of it as that. But I swear, I mean, I have no idea what exactly was causing it. Because I there was one time or a few times I was standing in there just waiting for it. So I knew I wasn't misplacing where the sound was coming from.
Right.
I could tell exactly where it was. And I, again, looked on each side of that wall and I don't know. It was weird.
I'm picturing a ghost in your garage just sitting there with like long nails and just waiting for you to walk away and just tap times.
Oh, you
That'd
know,
be great.
Incidentally, eventually the other side of that ended up being the studio before I moved out of that house. But I think at that time it was unfinished. It had to have been because that's where I was seeing the other side of the wall. But no, I mean that did become the first, it was like actually the second studio that we had. It was the first one that was actually designed to be a studio. It wasn't just in a room. But yeah, that was...
Did the tapping stop then after you built it and all that kind of stuff?
You know, it really kind of did.
Interesting.
Maybe it was something tapping and telling me, do ghost stories in your garage.
Maybe there was, you know, maybe it was Morse code and you just didn't know it.
Now that would be, I would totally miss that. Yeah. I'm like, what? Huh? But, no, that's an interesting thing. Now we always hear about tapping. I wonder how often it is like some sort of Morse code thing, you know, another generation that actually knew it, you know, from the war.
Absolutely,
or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm going to do this. Timmy will understand. It's like, what?
I'm tapping, but I don't know what it means.
I've been doing Morse code for the last 80 years. Gosh, yeah, that would be frustrating. Let's go to caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, my name's Kat, and I've been watching the show for about a month now. It really helps me get through some of the hecticness of my new job. But it got me thinking, so at my old job, I actually worked at this really old bank, and it was the first bank in a coal mining town in the Midwest. And when you work in there, it's normally pretty okay during the day, like vibe-wise. When there's other people working with you. But I worked in the position of drive-up, where I was the only one there other than one person, one officer, so we could close the vault at the end of the night for about an hour and a half. And so I would always sit back a bit from the rest of the tellers because I was running the drive-up. Now, I had chalked this up to maybe my eyelashes were catching the light of the window somehow, but it came to the realization to me that I would have this experience even in the winter when the sun wasn't out while I was there alone. So every week or so, just randomly, I would be catching this small flitting shadow off to my right in the same spot every time. And I took to calling it the little shadow cat that roamed the bank. And I suppose just for a little more context as to why, I don't know if it really was just like my eyelashes doing this thing. It never happened anywhere else other than that bank. And the bank also is sort of the focal point for a lot of the stray cats. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of spiritual energy that contains something that these cats like to be around, maybe even in death, maybe. But I thought that might be a nice story to tell. Not sure what it could mean, but the bank after everybody left really did. You had this feeling like when you know that a cat is looking at you across the room, and when you look at the cat, then it, you know, meows and gets your attention or whatever. It was just that feeling. It's that feeling in there when you're alone that something is paying attention to you. I want to say thanks for all of your awesome stories, and you make me laugh, and it's really interesting, all these ghost stories that even the ones that aren't dramatized in a way that TV would dramatize them, they are really, really interesting. Okay, bye.
Harper's had a ghost pig she's been playing with lately, named Joe.
Now, wait a minute. Please stop. Don't do that to me. That was part of the Amityville Horror thing that creeped me the F out, is that whole Jody the pig thing.
Oh, yeah. Jody says I should do it.
And then the red eyes and the window and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. My God.
Yeah. Thoughts on the story?
I wonder about banks because, you know, a lot of people, especially in older times when people actually went to the bank and had to stand there to do all their money exchanges and stuff like that, there was a lot of traffic in those locations. And it's where a lot of people saw members of the community and all that kind of stuff. There was money. There was anxiety over debt. I mean, that happened in those buildings. And I think you leave that stuff behind.
Yeah.
I don't know how necessarily the cats play into all, but I certainly think that older bank buildings are probably prime location for some sort of energy to be left behind because of the history of what they meant to this country.
What are your thoughts of the bank in downtown Ripon, Wisconsin? That's the restaurant. I forget what it's called these days.
I think it was called the Treasury for a while.
Way back in the day it was.
Yeah. I think that's a prime example because that, you know, it's an old town.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the birth of the Republican Party there sometime in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that in those types of bank locations, people lived and died by money at that point.
Yeah.
And if they had loans and debt that they couldn't repay, I mean, it was some hard times. So again, I really think that those old bank locations can hold a lot of residual energy over time.
I was in there. It's been several years now. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I'd been like a kid the last time I was in there. But that's a neat location. All, you know, all the stone walls and everything like that.
Yes.
And most of it is still like intact as what that bank would have looked like. Now your teller counters are gone, but other than that, it's like, it really is a neat place it feels like you're going back in time. And I don't know if it was just because of the aesthetics of it, but I could feel there was some energy in that place. And have you been in there anytime recently?
Not recently. It's probably been, I don't know, 20 some years since I've been in there.
Yeah.
But for you to say that you felt energy, to me, that means something.
Yeah, it did. It was just, There was a day I went to a lot of weird, creepy places over there. I had lunch there, and then I went to, there was an antique store, and I put pictures of this up online a long time ago, in Berlin, Wisconsin. That's in that old church. You've been in that?
Yes.
That's an amazing place.
I went because you went.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you're absolutely right about that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy. The weirdest part, there's like there's different energies in different parts of that place. There's parts where it's like fairly benign. It's just kind of like, okay, you know, things happened here that were like happy in people's lives. But when you get down to the area that's like the area that was kind of the school or the Sunday school or whatever the hell was down there, they're like classrooms, that's dark. There's something not good down there.
Interesting. And then you wonder about all the stuff that's in there as antiques and, you know, what's brought in with that. And churches in general, when they take a church and they make it into something else, even if you're not religious, I always wonder about the energy change and how that's perceived in the woo-woo world and the world beyond here and all that kind of stuff. It's got to be a weird change to be a church for a long time. Then all of a sudden you're a restaurant or an antique store or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very dramatic shift in energy. It's still people, but very different, you know, intent and in every. Yeah. It's interesting. That whole area has a lot of cool church restaurants now.
It's just, I know we've got, there's one in Fond du Lac now too at that old church. And it's like, I would love to live in a church, to be honest with you. I think it'd be so cool, but I think that they do hold a lot of residual stuff.
Yeah. I think good and bad. I don't think it's just because it's a church. It does not mean it's like, oh, it's going to be all good. Like I'd probably be a little more scared than anything else. I'm like, it's not good. And it's not saying like things bad happen in there, but you have funerals, you have all of that, a lot of sorrow, a lot of that, you know, the people go there for to get comfort for and essentially go there to release anxiety and release that stuff. So if they are consciously releasing it in that building, it just, you know,
And we know that in certain religions, there were things hidden in the past that, you know, were unspeakable and all that kind of stuff. So that's all held in those locations, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, you go for confession, all those confessions that were done in some of those old churches, all that energy hanging around?
That's something you never like see in an antique store, like a confessional.
Oh, God, I run so fast.
I've seen a lot of casket holders. Or like things, you know, the things that wheel the caskets around.
Why?
I don't know why. I was in one antique store in Wichita years ago. And there was three of them.
What are you going to do with that? Like make a dining room table or something?
Yes, people were making coffee tables out of them.
Hell no.
They do like a glass top or something on it. And that's what it was. I don't know. But I'd never seen one in an antique store in this one place in one day. Three of them. Did somebody like buy out like a funeral home or something? And I mean, they must have for that, you know, to have that many in one place. I don't know. But that's something that that people have been doing. There's an idea. Do coffee tables that do mausoleums in your house where the coffee table could just be like the, you know, there's Aunt Harriet right there in there. And
we've
it also
got some great HGTV ideas today. I'm writing these down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like how to keep the family together. And
when they're all dead.
Yes.
Yes.
Houses that have convenient spaces for storing your dead. That's going to be a Joanna Gaines thing. Just wait. I can't wait.
She's going to shiplap it, though, of course.
Yeah, it'll be shiplapped. I mean, wait, that silo eventually, they're going to open that thing up in like 2028. It's going to be like all these bodies in there. She's like, we're fermenting them for the new paint color that I'm coming out with next year.
I used to be a big fan of the Gaineses. Now they scare me a little bit. So
they kind of lost me a while ago, but that would be great. She's making paint out of rotting bodies at the silos. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person on EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus material, bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and more. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.